during the practice, during the retreat, our yogis make their effort trying to be mindful moment to moment. When you are mindful moment to moment, you may not feel free. Sometimes you might feel you are in the trap because you are not allowed to look at freely. You are not allowed to speak freely. You are not allowed to eat freely. You are not allowed to sit or get up freely. You have to be mindful of all the activities. It is completely different living outside and in the retreat. So sometimes, don't you feel retreat finish quickly? Don't you feel, oh, it takes so long? It will be very good if the retreat finish quickly. I can look at freely, I can eat freely, I can speak freely what I like. Don't you feel the retreat taking so long? Don't you feel? You may not feel you may not feel to finish quickly because you are mindful. To me, I expect to finish quickly, you know. Because every day I have to give a talk. Today, today, what should I talk today? What should I talk? So cannot be in the mind. Cannot be in the mind. I have to think something to talk. I have to find out a topic. So I come here without subject. So during your recitation, 8 precepts, I have to think, what should I talk? Then suddenly, a topic appears in my mind. Then I talk. So not easy to talk, because English is not my language, as you know. I have to also be very careful. The pronunciation, the grammar, if I cannot make sentence properly, yogis may not understand well. If they do not understand well, they may not know how to practice. So if I am careful of grammar and pronunciation, I forget my topic. If I take off my topic, I forget grammar and pronunciation. You know, it's not easy. But I really want the yogis to understand my Dhamma talk. I really pay attention, yogis, to understand the instruction. I really want the yogis to progress their practice. So during the interview, yogis, they encourage me. Oh, Sharasi talk is very good, very clear. They encourage. That's why I have energy. So even though I want to finish the retreat immediately, I have some energy. So tonight, I also like to talk because yogis, they understand, they say, they understand what I talk. So the retreat is just about to finish. We have to understand when we practice meditation, to experience or to benefit what the Buddha taught atapi sambajanosati ma na the satana visuddhiya purification of the mind etc. So this is our aim to achieve the insights or dhamma, the truth what the Buddha taught. So when we practice vipassana meditation according to the teachings of the Buddha, we practice what the Buddha taught. If you practice vipassana meditation, whatever arises from the six sense doors must be noted, nothing else. Eyes, nose, tongue, body, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Even though the topics is different, but the basic, these six sense doors, we cannot find any other things. These sense doors, we don't need to find any other places in our body, in our mind. So today also I would like to talk about the senses. I will recite two stanzas first, the Buddha taught. Then later I will try to explain. Chakuna samvaro sadhu, sadhu sotena samvaro, kanena samvaro sadhu, sadhu jaihwaya samvaro, kayena samvaro sadhu, sadhu vajaya samvaro, manasa samvaro sadhu, sadhu sabbatha samvaro, sabbatha samudo bhikkhu, sabbadukkha pamojjati. The Buddha added these two stanzas because five bhikkhus practiced different objects. Each of them practiced different ways. A bhikkhu, he was more careful about eyes. Another bhikkhu, he was mindful on the ear. Then third bhikkhu was mindful on the nose. A bhikkhu was mindful on his tongue. Then last bhikkhu, the fifth bhikkhu, was mindful on the body. Then they thought what they practiced was so difficult to control, so difficult to restrain. That's why when they met all together, they discussed what they practiced. Then argument rose among the five bhikkhus. A bhikkhu who practiced the on the sea said, restraint on the sea is most difficult. The other four bhikkhus, they didn't agree with the bhikkhu who was mindful on the sea. No. The second bhikkhu who was mindful on the ear, he said, no, not on the sea is so difficult, but on the hearing is most difficult. The bhikkhu who was mindful on the nose, noting smell, also said, ah, noting smell, restraint on the smell is so difficult. Then noting the tongue, the bhikkhu said, the mindful on the tongue was so difficult to restrain. The last one, who was mindful on the body, said, no, you are all wrong. Restraint on the body was so difficult. In this way, they made argument. They could not sort the problems. Eventually, they came to see the Buddha, then told what they argued. Then the Buddha said, all of them are difficult. All of them are difficult. Restraint on the eye is difficult. Restraint on the ear is difficult. Restraint on the nose is difficult. Restraint on the tongue is difficult. Restraint on the body is difficult. Is that true? Yes. What do you think, our yogis? All of them are difficult. That's why the Buddha added these two stanzas. Chakuna samvaro sadhu. Sadhu sotena samvaro. Kanena samvaro sadhu. Sadhu chehwaya samvaro. I repeat, so that you have the chance, the origin of the Buddha's words. It is rare opportunity to hear the origin of the Buddha's words. Our devotees are not like monks. Monks, they recite every day. They memorize. Now I can recite without reading the book because I memorized. Otherwise, I have to read. I have to open up the book. So you do not have the chance like the monks. That's why I repeat. Chakuna samvaro sadhu. Sadhu sotena samvaro. Kanena samvaro sadhu. Sadhu chehwaya samvaro. Restraint in the eye is good. Good is restraint in the ear. Restraint in the nose is good. Good is restraint in the tongue. How do we restrain in the eye? We are instructed at the beginning of the practice. If we see something or somebody, note seeing, whatever we see in our eyes. When we look at somewhere, we have to note looking or seeing. In the sitting meditation, we have to close our eyes. Even though we close our eyes with imagination, we can see something or somebody in our mind or in our thought, in our imagination. So we must note seeing closely. When we note the seeing object, visible object, we restrain our eyes. Then when we hear the sound, audible object, we must restrain, that is, noting closely, hearing. When we smell any kind of smell, good or bad, we must restrain. That is, note, smelling. When we eat, when we taste something, note, tasting. Our yogis practice in detail all process of eating, noting mindfully. So in this way, they restrain their tongue. Then when we touch, we note touching. So in this way, we restrain the body. That's why the Buddha taught, restrain in the eye is good. Good is restrain in the ear. Restrain in the nose is good. Good is restrain in the tongue. So we have to restrain ourselves. If we do not restrain, what happened there? we see freely without mindfulness, what happened? Greed would arise. Wanting would arise. Or anger, resentment would arise in our mind. If we do not note seeing, if we do not note hearing, when the sound is pleasant, greed would arise. If the sound is not pleasant, resentment or anger would arise. If we get smell, if we do not note smell, if the sweet smell, we like it. If we like it, we have desire or craving or attachment. If the smell is not sweet, the bad smell, resentment or anger would arise. If we do not note eating mindfully, attachment, the rasa tanha, the taste of attachment would arise. If we note it carefully, the taste of attachment, craving will not arise. That's why the Buddha taught us, is it easy to note or restrain seeing or hearing or smell? The Buddha taught, it's not easy to restrain. Why it's not easy? We have listened many, many times. We are enlightened ones, Puthojana. The Puthojana's minds are very crazy, very crazy. We are living in the sensual pleasure world. We like to look the pleasant or agreeable visible object, agreeable visible object or pleasant objects. We like to see freely. Then we like to listen the pleasant sounds or voice freely. We like to smell freely, good smell. We like to taste freely. We like to touch freely the tangible object. This is our enlightened one's nature. But we do not have such a craving or longing, whatever we see. So let's say, when you look at a tree, when you see a tree, what do you feel? Any attachment rises in your mind? No, because this is just a tree. If you like the sceneries, you may think just you feel pleasant, but you won't have any attachment. Any attachment. If you see some other things, when you go to the mall or shopping center, you see so many things. Some of them you may like it, attract your mind, but you may not have any attachment, any sensual desire. Mostly, in the talk the Buddha mentioned, you still might remember, the voice of a woman seizes the mind of a man. The sight of a woman seizes the mind of a man. The odor of a woman seizes the mind of a man. In reverse, the sight of a man seizes the mind of a woman. The Buddha taught in the Anguttara Nikaya. So when a man sees a woman, when, let's say, when the object is beautiful or pleasant, in the man's mind, something different. They might feel something. Sensual desire would arise. So if he is not mindful, sensual desire would arise. There are so many stories in the teachings of the Buddha. Also in our present time, also it commonly happened. So as a meditator, as a yogi, when you see somebody, maybe man or maybe woman, you have to be mindful. You have to be mindful. That is, you must note seeing, mindfully. If you do not note seeing, mindfully, if you are so sensitive about the seeing side, the desire would arise, fantasy would arise, longing would arise, affectionate feeling would arise, because you are not mindful. So if you are not mindful, you forget your mindfulness, then greed or lust or longing overwhelm your mind. You do not, your mind is out of control. So if you note seeing, just seeing, your mind doesn't go beyond that seeing. If you note it very carefully, even you may not feel anything, just seeing, you may not think man or woman or whoever. If the mind is so concentrated. So at one time in Sri Lanka, long time ago, not present time, a monk practiced meditation diligently, ardently. So while he was walking, a lady passed by. But he didn't see as a lady, but he just noted seeing. So when he practiced meditation, he could not see as a form of woman. But he, in his knowledge, he just saw a skeleton. So at that time, a man came to us, because this man is married to this lady. So he asked the monk, "Venerable sir, have you ever seen a lady who come across here?" "I didn't see any ladies, but I saw a skeleton passing by." That is, he was so mindful on his practice. He was not aware whether or not it's lady or man. So when we see something or somebody, we must note seeing mindfully. In this way, no greed in the mind, no anger in the mind, no resentment in the mind. So the mind is so pure and so clear. That is our yogi's experience. So when you note it closely, you also may experience. If you note the seeing closely, you can see as a person. But just seeing. That's why the Buddha gave the example. A tortoise, very big tortoise. One day, a tortoise was searching for food in the evening along the shore of a lake, searching for food. At that time, a jackal also was searching for
food
in the evening along the shore of a lake. So they head on head. A doctor saw jackal was coming to him. He saw the jackal afar. So when he saw the jackal coming to him, he withdrew his legs and his neck, four legs and a neck, the head, withdrew into his shield. So he kept quiet, stood still, didn't move when he saw a jackal. A jackal also saw there was a tortoise. So when he saw a tortoise searching for the food, the jackal also was searching for a food. Now there is a food for me, I will eat. So when the jackal reached at the tortoise, he could not do anything. He could not bite because the shell protected the tortoise. So he thought, when tortoise stretches his four legs and neck, I will catch it. I will seize whatever his limbs stretch out. Then I will tear off it. Then I will eat it. Then he hovered around the tortoise. The tortoise, he withdrew his legs and necks. So jackal, he didn't have the ability to bite the tortoise. So this is an example. When we practice vipassana meditation, we have to restrain our eyes. We have to restrain our ear. We have to restrain our nose. We have to restrain our tongue. We have to restrain our body. Note it. So if we are unable to restrain our eyes and ear and tongue and body, kilesa will occupy our mind. So this is an example the Buddha taught us with the tortoise. So when, in the same way, when we hear the sound, we must note hearing. When we smell, note smelling. When we eat, note eating. Then body, note. Then kayena samvaro sadhu. Sadhu vajaya samvaro. Sadhu vajaya samvaro. Manasa samvaro sadhu. Sadhu sabbata samvaro. Restraint in body is good. Good is restraint in speech. Restraint in mind is good. Restraint is good in all the senses. Not only one sense. The Buddha said, restraint is good all the senses. The Buddha taught. Not only the eye, noting seeing, also must note hearing, must note smelling, must note tasting, must note the body. Body is now you know the rising, falling, sitting, touching. Then restraint in speech. We practitioners are not allowed to speak unnecessarily. We must restrain. But didn't mention restrain in writing. But we also must restrain in writing. And during the practice, we should not write so many things. Just write a note. If you unless you forget. If you write something in the book, you have to think today what happened. You think of it, then you write. If you spend writing your time, then you lost mindfulness at the moment. That's why we should not write too much during the practice, not only in the speech. Then we have to restrain our mind. One day, at the Buddha's time, a young man, he offered food to the bhikkhu. Then associating with the bhikkhu, a monk, he wanted to be a bhikkhu. When he ordained as a bhikkhu, then he asked, what should I do to practice meditation? The monk told him to learn Vinaya, the Vinaya rule for monks. Then after that, learn Sotanda, Sotas, then learn Abhidhammas, oh, so many things to do that. So many things, then I will disrobe. So many things, I can't do that. So when the Buddha knew, only you just maintain your mind, trying to be mindful. Oh, that is easy to restrain the mind. So if we cannot do anything, noting, seeing or hearing, trying to be mindful ourselves, trying to restrain our mind. So, but here, we note all of things, noting seeing, noting hearing, noting smelling, noting eating, then body. All of them we note. Here I would like to explain, according to our yogis' experience, when we note rising, falling, we could feel in the rising and falling, inflates or deflates in the rising and falling. So we can see quite clearly because it is motion in the abdomen. Even though it is so quite difficult to follow the movement closely, if you are mindful, if you watch it closely, you could feel the movement. There is motion in my abdomen. When you note sitting and touching, as you pay close attention to your abdomen, you must pay close attention to your sitting and touching, not just simply note sitting and touching. As you know the motion in your abdomen, you also should know, you should notice something in your touching and sitting. So note it very closely. When you note it closely, you might notice in the sitting and in the touching. If you note it closely. If you do not note it closely, you do not notice anything in the sitting and in the touching. So, if you really want to know something in the sitting and touching, pay close attention in the sitting and touching. What you would notice in the sitting and touching? When you note sitting, you might notice maybe stiffness in your body, maybe hardness in your body. You might notice, oh, when I note sitting, I notice something, stiffness in my body, or hardness in my body. When I note touching, I notice hardness in the touching area, or pulsating in the touching point. I notice. because why you notice it? Because you note it closely. This is the things you have to understand. Because I just remind yogis, when they report sitting, touching, they do not mention what they notice. They could explain in the abdomen when they know the rising, falling, they could see, and they could see this and that. But they seldom mentioned in the sitting, touching. They just mention, oh, I notice sitting, touching. So you have to understand this kind of things. But do not search for anything. Do not expect anything. Do not expect anything. What we are told, just bear mindfulness. Just bear mindfulness. If you are mindful closely, each and every moment, then when your mindfulness is good enough, you would notice automatically. Even though we say, do not search for anything, do not expect anything, but always such a things arise. Expectation arises. When expectation arises, note it. It's very difficult. Expectation, even though we say, do not expect, expectation always arise. Then we also think, when we practice meditation, we must notice something. But we notice what we are going to expect, but we do not think. This is the things we understand. We expect other things. What's the knowledge? Is it the devas or lights? We expect. But we have seen something in our body. When you know the rising falling, you notice inflates or deflates, upward movement or downward movement. That is, you have to understand. You have to understand, not any other things. So when the mindfulness is getting better and better, you could see very clearly. This is depending on your mindfulness. Mindfulness. I have told you, I have to say again, because it is important, the form and the manner and reality. When we practice vipassana meditation, we have to understand the reality as it really is. But at the beginning of the practice, we cannot remove the form. We cannot remove the form. We shall see the form. At the same time, we also notice the reality. Let's say, noting rising, falling. I note it closely. Then I notice my abdomen goes up, my abdomen goes down. So you could see the movement, motion in the abdomen. At the same time, you also see your form. You cannot remove immediately. It's not easy to remove immediately. But when your mindfulness is getting better and better, even though you want to see the form, you won't see it. Only you see the movement. Movement. That's why some yogis, they say, now I cannot see the form. I cannot see the form. I don't know what happened. At the beginning of the practice, I could follow the movement closely. Now I could feel the movement. Movement. So let be. Don't force yourself to appear the movement. Don't appear. Some yogis, they say, when they are noting the rising and falling, the rising and falling become shallow and soft and gentle. Then they make to be clear. the fourth, breathe in. We should not force breathing heavily, just let it be. Try, be a natural. We should not make. At the beginning of the practice, our effort is weak. Our mindfulness is weak. That's why we must pay close attention. We must put forth effort to be able to follow the movement closely. Now, when your mindfulness is getting better and better, then you don't need to put so much effort. Just you know the rising, falling, then you can catch it. Then you can follow, how to say, rhythmically. Rising, fall, rising, fall, back and forth, you could note. Then when the mind goes off, you can catch it, then you note it. You note it. Also, not necessary, I have to tell again, not necessary to pull your mind back to the abdomen. When you practice vipassana meditation, you don't need to pull your mind back. When you know you are thinking, just note thinking. Just note thinking. When you know you are wondering, just note wondering. You don't need to pull your mind back to the abdomen. But when you practice samatha meditation, only one object, in, out, breathe in, breathe out, only one object, not like six sense doors. So when the mind, because you develop the concentration, so when the mind goes off, when you know you are thinking, you don't have to note thinking, because you practice samatha meditation. So in this way, when you practice samatha meditation, you have to pull your mind back to your nostril. Now you are not practicing samatha meditation, you practice vipassana meditation. That's why not necessary to pull your mind back to the abdomen. Note thinking or wondering. When you note thinking, wondering, what happened? When you note it closely, you would notice. Oh, when I note thinking disappeared. Thinking stop. So you notice, stop. Don't say just thinking. You should, as you explain in your rising and falling of the abdomen clearly, you also should explain. What happened when you note thinking, wondering? Note. You should explain. Then I note thinking disappear or stop. So in this way you notice your mind. So during the practice, you have experienced so many experiences. During the one sitting, when you are noting the rising, falling, sometimes you are happy, happiness arises. Sometimes unhappiness arises, anger arises, resentment arises, selfish arises, pride arises. So many mind states you have noticed. If you do not practice meditation, you will not notice. So these are things we have to be very careful. But anyway, as the Buddha taught, so all the senses we restrain. When you see, you not seeing. When you hear, you not hearing. When you smell, you not smelling. When you taste, you not tasting. When you touch, you not touching. I will not tell a story. I like to tell at the beginning. Now I will not say this story. You understand how to restrain our senses. Sabbata sanghuto bhikkhu sabbadukkha pamoccati. Good is restrained all the senses. A bhikkhu, a yogi, restrained all of them, free from all sufferings. Sabba dukkha, all sufferings. All sufferings. Practice in this way, all suffering. Overcome all suffering, all suffering. Free from all sufferings. Only the Arhat. Only the Arhat. If we attain the first enlightenment, Sotapatti fruition, we do not freedom yet, because we still have the defilement. Just attain once Ridana, still we have defilement. The attainment of Anagami, non-Ridana, still have the defilement. Attained enlightenment, the Arahatahood, or no more defilements, no more defilements. In this way, we free from all sufferings, sabbadukha, all sufferings. That's why this practice is very good. Practice vipassana meditation. Vipassana meditation. Some yogis also, they ask something like, Sharo, I have practiced rising and falling. What should I do now? What should I do? Something like the lesson in a school? No, not like that. So the basic object is the rising and falling. You have to practice, whenever you practice Satipatthana meditation, you have to practice all the senses. Rising, falling, sitting, touching, seeing, hearing, everything. In this way, you can attain enlightenment. Then when you attain first enlightenment, what should you do? You still have to practice these five aggregates, all the senses you have to note. Then you can attain Sakadagami, once Ritana. Then you attain Sakadagami, what should you do? You still have to note all the five aggregates, all the senses. Then you attain Anagami, or non-Ritana. Then you attain Arhatahood. So you still have to practice the five aggregates in all senses. What I say like this, in the Sila Wanda Sutta. The Ashim Maha Kutika, Kutika Mahathira and Sariputta, they discussed. Kutika Thira, Mahathira asked the Sariputta Thira, if a person who has morality, what he or she should do? Practice on the five aggregates to understand as it really is, anicca, dukkha, anatta. In this way, he attained Sotapatti fruition. Yes, what you say, a person attained Sotapatti fruition, then what he should do? Practice the five aggregates. Then can attain Sakadagami fruition. Yes, he attained Sakadagami fruition. What he should do? Practice this fourth of the five aggregates, the Sariputta Thera said. So, according to this sutta, whenever we practice meditation, the four foundations of mindfulness, our main object is the rising and falling of the abdomen. When you sit down, you have to note rising, falling, rising, falling. Note. So later, whatever arises in the body, you have to note. You have to note. Not like lesson study in a school. So note rising, falling. You may get bored. If you get bored, note boring, note everything. In this way, what the Buddha taught, we can experience insight knowledges, mind and matter, causing effect, understand the three characteristics clearly, then rising, fading away nature, insight knowledge. We can experience. Now our yogis also have experienced some quality of insight knowledge, mind and matter, distinguish mind and matter clearly, noting the rising and falling, noting the sitting and touching, noting the right step and left step. Our yogis have experienced I will try to explain tomorrow, not today. So at the before end of retreat, I try to explain how yogis experience insight knowledge, not all, just roughly a few knowledges. So tomorrow I will try to explain. Today is enough. May you be well and happy. May you be able to practice meditation ardently and energetically. Then may you understand the Dhamma clearly as they really are.